Hey, hello. Welcome to the Traveling Farm Museum. In this podcast series, artist collective The Outsiders take you on a journey of discovery along remnants and new developments in the field of ecology, agriculture and heritage in and around Leidse Rijn, Utrecht. Where 30 years ago the cows were grazing in the meadows, now the largest suburban neighborhood in the Netherlands is where more than 80,000 people have found their home. In this podcast series, we bring together different voices of farmers, artists, and residents to reflect on our local food system and culture.
Hi, Antje Blanco, architect and game designer interested in food landscapes.
Hi, I'm Asia Komarova. I'm an artist and a chef.
I am Mero. I'm an artist based in Utrecht and I love birds and plants.
With this museum, we would like to show you what influence our way of farming and the design of our food system has on the climate and on our planet. We want to learn together with you how we can use specific farmers' knowledge and skills to prevent decline, to imagine a better world, and even to create one right away.
In this third episode, we go on tour to the food forest Haas Islands, together with the artist duo based in Brazil, Jorge Manabarreto and Joey Bujula. Both artists and researchers are interested in agroforestry, land art and plant-based food, among other things. They consider that our digestive systems have the ability to shape our landscape. Farmer Jan from Food Forest Haas Islands has planted a multitude of nuts, fruits, berries and herbs on more than 5 acres of river clay. His goal is to create a healthy ecosystem with a great diversity of insects, birds and mammals. The podcast starts at the entrance of the forest, where Jorge, Joey and Farmer Jan share and learn from each other's ways of work and points of view.
Oh, there's this this beaver having his nest and his dam. Yeah. There's badgers running around and
wow.
It becomes like a Garden of Eden.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah, we stop here because here we are entering the food forest. So this is my art. So I'm one of the farmers here. And this is our artwork. It's about 6 hectares. We started in 2015. A few years back, this was a two-dimensional piece of grass with hardly any flowers. And now you see a little forest edge emerging with the brambles, the sloe, some mispel. Let's walk up here. Watch your step here.
We're also connected to the food forest movement in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have worked in these farm-to-table projects and also trying to connect it to the arts and think about like the image that we, one image that we like to cultivate is the idea of thinking about our digestive systems as a sculpting tool, and that as we eat, we are sculpting the landscape and shaping the landscape. So okay. That's like our idea of environmental sculpture.
Alfabeto Maldito é um título que pode ser imediatamente relacionado a alguma instância da letra.
Mauvais alphabet can be immediately linked as a title to the level of the letter.
Mas se assim o for, não surtirá efeito outro efeito senão
ou de uma rasteira em quem se dispõe a olhá-lo a partir dessa perspectiva.
But if so, it would cause any other effect than that of leading astray whoever looks at it from this perspective.
É que ao confrontar o título com o trabalho, vê-se que não se está aí diante de quaisquer letras reconhecíveis.
Setting the title against the world, we can see that we are not in front of any recognizable letters.
Não há, nesse alfabeto, nada que represente graficamente as unidades sonoras, os fonemas, que compõem uma língua.
There is not in this alphabet anything to represent the units of sound, the phonemes that make up a language.
Mesmo sua ordem é orgânica, mutável, selvagem, não começa com A, não termina com Z. E talvez sequer tenha fim. Seja um trabalho em curso.
Even its ordering is organic, mutable, wild. It does not begin with an A and end with Z. And perhaps even does not have an end, is a work in formation. And even though the images could suggest a secret code to be unraveled, as if they were hieroglyphs or pictograms, any attempt in this direction will be likewise frustrated.
E muito embora as imagens possam sugerir um código secreto a ser desvendado, como se fossem hieróglifos ou ideogramas, qualquer tentativa nesse sentido será igualmente frustrada.
It turns out that this alphabet is indecipherable as a matter of principle. This is due to the fact that it emerged as an attempt to underscore the experience of a human faced with a language that is completely strange and inaccessible.
Acontece que este alfabeto é, por princípio, indecifrável. O que se deve ao fato de que ele surgiu como uma tentativa de fazer valer a experiência do humano diante de uma linguagem que lhe é completamente estranha e inacessível, a linguagem secreta das plantas.
The secret language of plants. Therefore, faced with this and these letter plants, a human is not faced with the experience of reading, but rather with misreading, with a name to deconstruct this human, all too human way of reading.
Por isso, diante dele, o dessas letras plantas, não se está diante de uma experiência de leitura, mas antes de desleituras.
Consequently, Beauvais alphabet forces us to take a stance that we do not know enough about the world, or rather, that our knowledge is limited to our condition as humans, constituted in and by a language that is ours alone.
É por isso que o alfabeto maldito nos constrange a tomar uma posição, a de que não sabemos o suficiente sobre o mundo, ou melhor, a de que o nosso saber se limita à nossa condição de humanos constituído em uma e por uma linguagem que é somente nossa. Nesse sentido, o pensamento ameríndio de alguns povos poderia vir ao nosso socorro para finalmente nos oferecer outra concepção do mundo, tal como nos ensina Eduardo Viveiros de Castro, resumindo-a em poucas palavras já no início de um dos seus artigos.
In these terms, the way of thinking among some Amerindian groups could come to our aid to offer us finally a different conception of the world. Just as Eduardo Viveiros de Castro teaches us, summing it up in a few words at the beginning of one of his articles as: the conception of a world inhabited by different human and non-human species of subjects or people that apprehend the world according to distinct points of view.
A concepção de um mundo que é habitado por diferentes espécies de sujeitos ou pessoas, humanas e não humanas, que aprendem segundo pontos de vista distintos. Fecha aspas.
You listen to Alphabet Modded, a piece of work from duo artists Joey and Jorge, made especially for the Traveling Farm Museum after their visit to Food Forest House Islands. We return to Jan, Joey and Jorge, who continue walking through the forest.
And it's a good skill to have when you're farming a food forest, is to observe. This is intelligent design. It's not just plowing a whole field and putting it full of one crop. So it's nice to be able to learn. So it's the skill to be sensitive to your environment.
And as a biologist, when was it that you became interested in food forests?
I think only, it's not so very long before we started this, that I first met the concept. Mm-hmm. But also I grew up in a place where we had a large garden and vegetables and all kinds of berries and fruit trees. So I'm kind of used to having interesting edibles in a garden. Mm-hmm. But the difference here, of course, is that, this is serious skill. So it's not only for our own use. We need other people to help us to eat what we grow here. So together with Maarten, a friend of mine, he actually walked into the food forest. He talked about it and we thought, we might like to start something like this. And within 1 or 2 weeks, we decided that we were going to do it. Yeah.
You felt that you heard the call. So in a way, would you consider this as an expanded idea of classroom in a way, or like a place where you would come and learn?
It's a good place to learn. Absolutely. It's also the place where you are now here. It's a good place to learn how to... you learn the flavors of different kind of crops. You can see how it grows. And when we walk further on, there's places where we kind of scale up some of the things we grow here.
But as I was saying about botanical illustration, you're usually focusing on plants isolated, right? Which I imagine is pretty much how we study biology, right? That we look at plants like... You draw their roots, you draw their stem, and then the leaves. But the experience of the food forest is exactly, I mean, it's not the opposite, but it's like all these species put in relation, right? Because it's not anymore about isolating each species, but how they relate to each other. So... that is something that I actually learned, like when I started understanding about how it works both in layers, because some plants like to be more exposed to light, and others like to be protected by those who are more exposed to light, and also like which ones become friends. And which ones repel each other, right? So it's like a whole community of negotiation, really, also.
Here you see nice that stuff is blending in. And these obviously are very happy to be here, a bit sheltered by the willows. So we don't eat the willows, but the willows, they give shelter to this this ground ivy, but also to the ribes. The black... blackberries at this side here, and then you see the forest strawberries.
Wow!
They when we came here, we want to have this kind of forest plants. We love those plants, so we put them here, even though it was still kind of a grass field. but we put them under the berries, so they are already a little bit protected. And now you see that they are becoming really happy, and they start to walk around and to spread.
Is it 5 years now or 7 years that you've had?
This is the sixth year.
Six years.
Yes.
And what stage would it be like is it still childhood or is it teenager or is it becoming an adult or?
Oh yeah, we are child.
You're still children. Okay.
But we are growing quite quickly. If you look at this, so that's the amazing thing about Dutch springs, that okay, everything becomes green. Obviously, it gets leaves, but not just leaves. Because here, look at this. This is new growth.
Wow, it's a lot.
That's maybe 30 centimeters.
Yeah. I was also curious to know, like, how labor intensive it was in the beginning, and if it has decreased as the years went by, or how many hours do you spend per week or per day?
Maybe 1 or 2 days a week.
Okay.
So we got half a kilometer of hedge, so that's maybe 4 trees a meter. So a lot of trees. So then we invited quite some people to help us to put them in the ground. And then also for some of the crops.
This plot of land, does it belong to the city, or how is your relationship to the land in terms of property and like what you're doing here?
We borrowed it, something like that.
Okay.
So the owner is Natuurmonumenten, so it's a nature organization. They bought a lot of old farmland here. Around the old castle of Versailles. These were actually fields that were used for the grass. We made a deal that we can use it for 26 years. It gives us plenty of time to get the forest from a child to adolescence and to show what you can do.
And are you called upon to speak a lot about, to tell the history of your project? Increased in public attention. Who's interested in your story?
This is public land, and that's important here for the decisions we make. That it's also a landscape that's shared with many people. So we live. You see Utrecht there after the Haarensplas. So we are so close to the city. People need to get out of the city sometimes and be in a nice place.
There was a strange stillness. The birds, for example, where had they gone? The few birds seen anywhere were moribund, trembled violently and could not fly. On the farms, the hens brooded, but no chicks hatched. The apple trees were coming into bloom, but no bees droned among the blossoms. So there was no pollination and there would be no fruit. It was a spring without voices. This was a quote from Rachel Carson from the book Silent Spring. Imagine you are walking in a boulder landscape. You see fields of grass, framed with little canals of water. In the distance, you see a farmhouse. A couple of cows are grazing, and you smell the grass. Then you hear, it's the black-tailed godwit. In 2015, this bird was selected as National Bird of the Netherlands. Evolutionary created in biotopes of our ancestors when they started to cultivate and transform the land into boulders. This happened especially in the mid of the 19th century,
when due to new ways of fertilization, the land and soil became populated by worms. The black-tailed godwit characterized the typical Dutch polder landscape. But they follow other cultivated landscapes as well. In the winter, they reside in large groups at the rice farmers in Senegal and Guinea. It's a migratory bird, flying in flocks to the west part of the African continent in the winter and return to the Dutch meadows and coastlines in the summer. In the 20th century, the black-tailed godwit was a common meadow bird, but since the turn of the century, it decreased at a fast rate because of habitat loss. They are a delicacy in France and Great Britain. In the Netherlands, we call the black-tailed godwit Grutto, the king of the farmland. You continue your walk. You look into the sky. You see a black, white bird flying in the sky with a big red beak. It's the oyster catcher, or in Dutch, the schoolekster. We nickname him Bonte Piet because of its colors and strange behavior. The bird is an important species when it comes to indicating the health of ecosystems. But he also adapts quite well in urban landscapes. Apart from farmlands, he also lives on rooftops in cities. There you see the northern lapwing, also known as the peewit or peewit. Tuwit or tiwit. In Dutch we call it kiewit. Those names are onomatopoeic and refer to the bird's characteristic call. In the Netherlands, this bird is famous for its eggs. It's an old Dutch tradition to collect the lapwing eggs. The person who finds the egg first in the season in spring in certain villages wins. Between 2000 and 2015, the population of the kiewit diminished by half and kept on decreasing ever since. This is caused by intensification of agriculture, low water level, and urbanization. This noisy creature, it's a common redshank. He is alerting others with his loud call. In Dutch, we call it tureluur. And there you hear the song of the Eurasian skylark. It's officially not a meadow bird, but still, it often breeds in the Dutch polders. It's a songbird that loves open farmland. These are the songs of the meadow birds. The meadow birds that are disappearing from the Dutch polders.
Yeah, this is also a nice crop. This is like a perennial spinach. So you only plant them once and they can grow quite big. You can harvest a lot of it.
And yeah, apart from saving some money, I imagine, because of the food that you end up harvesting here and not buying in the supermarket, do you get any commercial revenue? Like, is it, do you sell some of it, or are you able to have some profit from what you produce?
We are a non-profit organization, but we have to make money, of course. So we got pick-it-yourself people. So they pay a bit on a yearly basis. Some restaurants, they also come to pick their own stuff. They also pay. And we harvest a bit for the FOCO, Food Collective Utrecht, Voedsel Collectief Utrecht. These flowers are so full of taste, but also full of energy. It's not just some vegetable. It's
maybe let's find a way to share it.
Yeah, this is so nice that we totally harvest almost everything. The taste is also a bit in the fresh leaves.
It's wow!
I love this.
It's a bit of asparagus, or yeah.
Yeah. And it reminds me also a little bit of maybe pistache. Maybe because I know they also, it's a bladder nut. They grow nuts, so we had them also in the first instance for the nuts.
But you mentioned something that has caught my attention more and more, which is related to soil. Because there's all that we see that is happening, but there's so much that we don't see that is happening underground.
Yeah.
And I have been I'm finishing the translation of a book on mushrooms and fungi and how it helps plants connect and communicate to each other. But it's a new also subject for me, but it seems so interesting and rich to just imagine what's going on beneath our feet now. It's imagining that all the roots of these plants are also communicating, and that without, according to this book that is called The Mushroom at the End of the World, forests would not exist if it weren't for the collaboration of plants and fungi, because fungi are also making many nutrients bioavailable for the plants. Yeah. So like this symbiotic relationship between plants and fungi are also, but it's something that we don't see, right? We're talking here in terms of plants, but there's a whole collaborative web or network that is happening underneath that.
There must be so much happening underground. And different species of trees sometimes work together with different fungi, of course. So all around us here, there's a big ring of hundreds and hundreds of trees who are starting to work together with all these fungi.
Wow.
And then our crops, they must be profiting from that.
Why aren't people doing it more? What is it that is stopping people from just, you know, going into it more?
Yeah, people are doing it more. People are starting to do it, I think, more and more. Mm-hmm. But one of the challenges, I think, is the first years you only have to plant and spend your money. And it's only after some years that it starts to yield serious crops. So for many farmers, that's maybe something to get used to the idea before you do that. And we are, in that sense, in a luxury position that we had other incomes. We didn't need to earn money from the start.
Sure.
So that's probably a challenge. And here, of course, we are like making other people's back garden. So people pick from their own garden, of course. But here we create this garden and people come to harvest. So some of the pick-it-yourself abonnement people, they come here with their kids. Mm-hmm. Because it's so nice to be outside and to to see these goldfinches flying over all the time and to see the bumblebees and then to eat these nice crops and to see where it comes from. So indeed, what you talk about, you know what's on your plate and where it comes from. So what you have here, of course, is that you have some positive motivation that I like to eat from a system like this. And if this is increasing, you start to eat less and less from other systems, and then the world becomes more sustainable.
Hi, my name is Jasmine. Today I'm in the food forest in Utrecht, and we're gonna interview some visitors from Traveling Farm Museum. What do you think about this food forest?
Well, I was impressed by what they have been doing here and how big it is and how many species already are growing. And well, of course, we did some tasting and it was fantastic. One thing I especially remember was what they told, that they also organize the predators, like the birds of prey. They get that they organize space for the birds of prey to rest, so they can control the other species. And that's something you can take into account when thinking of how to organize such a food forest. So that was kind of a new thing for me, but a lot of other things also. It was quite nice.
What's your favorite food you saw here?
Well, I forgot the name, but there was this kind of it's called Roomse Kervel in Dutch, and that was very, very tasty. But also the onion soup plant was amazing.
Hello, Jasmine. My name is Gabriel.
Okay. What was your favorite food you saw here?
I think my favorite food, just because I had never tasted it today, was one that plant that I can't remember the name, that is from Chinese origin, that tasted like garlic. Just because I found that it was a very different taste from anything I tasted, so I love that one.
Okay. Did you got some?
Did I get some to take home?
Yeah.
I did not. I just ate a leaf, but I did take elderflower, just like you, so I can try to make some syrup tonight. And I took some sage because it's actually one of my favorite herbs. And I took a tiny bit of mint.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jasmine, and today I'm going to interview you. What was your favorite thing you saw here?
My favorite thing what I saw here was that there are some plants here that helping other plants to grow. I didn't know that it was exist, so that was a thing that I learned today.
Which food that you saw here was your favorite?
There was one leaf and that was very sour, and I liked it, so that was the best for me.
Okay. And are you gonna make something with it?
Maybe now I've got this, and this what I'm gonna bring home, so maybe I can make something of it. But I think it's too less. So maybe I'm come back for more another day.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jasmine.
Hi, I'm Britt Dorenbos.
What was your favorite plant you saw here?
The favorite plant? There were so many favorite plants. Let me think. I think eating the honeyberry. I'm not sure if that's the English name, but it was good. It was sour.
And did you got some?
I ate them all, so I didn't took them home, but I got some for lunch.
Do you have other plants to bring home?
I took some of the onion soup plant because my boyfriend is not here and I think he would love it. And some of the mint because I want a cup of mint tea later.
Yummy. Thank you.
You were listening to the Traveling Farm Museum podcast. The Traveling Farm Museum is an initiative of artist collective The Outsiders and Casco Art Institute working for the Commons. With the Traveling Farm Museum, we invite everyone to join us. Come to a workshop, join a tour and discover Leidse Rijn and the surrounding area. We would like to create new stories about this area together with you, neighbors and farmers. These stories are then collected in our traveling museum and in our depot. The Meadow Birds is part of a series of public research about old and new ecologies in Leidse Rijn, soon available at our depot. The sound design and music for both Alphabet Modded and Meadowbirds were made and produced by artist Maxime Gesodaran. For more information about our meetings, take a look on our website, www.tfmdepot.nl. In the next episode, The Outsiders, together with vegan cook Mari, visit the vegetable garden De Haar.
Traveling, farm, museum.